Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and when you do, I told Dee I wanted to have a copy of this, and so Dee made the awful mistake of making me a copy and putting it on my desk. And she kept saying, "Did you see that?" And I said, "No, did you bring it to me?" She said, "I put it on your desk." And went. So she was back in the office this morning before Sunday school, and I said, "Dee, you have my permission to root through here, find it." How long did it take you?
Maybe 5 minutes.
That's a long time. What this is, her mom passed away, and Dee showed me this, and it blessed my heart. She called it her statement of faith. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do something. I'm going to challenge you personally to write out what you believe. Okay? You don't have to show it to anybody. It could be just between you and God. But sit down one day and just write out what it is that you believe about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? And what Dee's mom did, she probably never even thought about this, but this is her lasting testimony, so that she being dead yet speaketh. Okay? I'm going to read it to you. This was in her Bible. "Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you, right and new. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen." And I just melted when I saw that. And Dee, you've got something now more precious. And when I die, I want to leave behind something about me that points to Jesus. Amen? Because even in death, I want people to know what it is that I found. And it's good. Somebody say amen. Take a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Dee, I appreciate that. God bless you. And all the things that she has gone through, losing her husband, losing her mother. And you just pray for her, pray for all of our widows here in our church. Just seems like God has given us these wonderful women. And we love you all dearly. And you do not cease to lift up and pray for these dear, sweet people. And God has decided to take one on home. That's what happens. It's happened in my family. It'll happen in other families as well. God has decided to take these great men home. So you pray. It's our ministry to pray for these wives and these widows and administer to them. And any need they have should be met by their church first. So you pray about that and you ask God to show us what we can do. Ephesians chapter 6. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 10. I have it up on the screen. You can read it if you brought a Bible. If not, grab a Bible there in the pew in front of you. They're all the same. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Underline that in your Bible. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We've been sort of making plain about those wiles. How crafty the devil is, how he works in us, or works to us and works at us. "For we wrestle," verse 12, "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." We talked about that last week. This week, we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I want you to think about that. I want you to consider it. I want you to ponder it. What does it mean, the darkness of this world? I'll ask you a question. Have you ever been in darkness? It could very well be that there's somebody in this room. I don't know who it is. Don't know if it is. It could very well be there's somebody in this room that is in darkness right now. And I'm just going to shoot straight with you. If you are in darkness, you know it. See, this Bible is real simple when you think about it. Look out, Sarah, look out one of these windows out here. Day or night? See how easy that is? We're meeting in daylight. Tonight, it'll be dark. I'm telling you, it's that simple. And people know when they're in the light, and people know when they're in darkness. But here's the problem. There are some people who love darkness more than light. They love nighttime. They love the things that they do are done in darkness. Why? They're not to be seen. They're not to be known about. They like the cover that darkness brings to their sin. And I can tell you, that is no place to live. Let me hear God's people shout that out. Amen! Darkness is no place to live. We weren't designed that way. We are designed to seek out the light and to live in that light. So rulers of the darkness, think about the darkness of this world and think about there are spirits that rule over darkness. How many of y'all know that? When you were in darkness, the day before Christ came and shined the light of the gospel in your life, you were in darkness. Who in here knows that there is a spiritual presence behind that darkness? Sure there was. I'm going to show you some very simple things. Okay? Let me deal with it this way. Think about animals that like to be out in the daylight, and at night they go to bed, just like we do. And then think about animals that only go out at night, and they sleep during the daytime, like some teenagers. Blue Jays, Robins, Cardinals. They out in the daytime, aren't they? They're out scavenging, pecking around for seeds, looking for things to eat. Owls. Daylight or dark?
Dark.
Why? Because God designed them to be able to see and detect in darkness what nighttime tries to cover up. And owls don't go looking for a berry or a seed to eat. Owls go looking for flesh. You think about that. Coyotes. Who in here has ever heard coyotes in the night? Scared me to death one time. I was out deer hunting by myself. And sleeping in the back of our van. I took the seats out, put an air mattress back there, and I was sleeping it out, having a good time. And Ed, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was coyotes outside just howling and screaming and screeching and kicking up a storm. And I got scared. Because I thought, what if they're going to get me? And then I went, you're in the van, stupid. And I had it locked. Go back to sleep. Listen to me. The things that will prey on you, and I don't mean prey like God help me, the things that will prey on you in order to consume you and destroy you, they will always be in the cover of darkness. You walk into a house and you flip a light switch on and mice and cockroaches go running. What does that tell you? They love darkness. And when you hit the light, they're gone. Mice and cockroaches in your house are there to do nothing but consume what it is that you have. I want you to get wisdom out of this. God's going to show you some very, very simple things in your life. We're wrestling against these rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Four primary things that we've been dealing with in this sermon series. We've preached on principalities. We're learning what those are. They are things where any kind of authority is. Powers. They are spirits that like to hold, they have ruling authority over a person's life. They use things to keep people where they want them to be. Let me give you an illustration. There was a judge over here in Illinois that got busted for drugs. Do you all remember that? Him and two other judges were at a cabin one weekend. One of the judges died of a drug overdose in that cabin. And that other, he was a sitting judge in Illinois ruling over drug cases. One of the probation officers was in on it. A lot of the drug dealers in that county were feeding him all the drugs he needed. And when, if ever these guys got caught and they ended up in his courtroom, that judge would probably put him on probation or throw the case out, because they were feeding him drugs and he knew them and they knew him. And those drug dealers knew that if that judge ever put them in prison, they would start talking and they would have him arrested and he'd be busted for what he was doing. And what the deal was, the criminal element in that county had power over that judge, and they made him do whatever they wanted him to do. Why? Because he was on drugs. And they were doing drugs in that cabin that weekend when all this thing came to light. Now let me tell you something. You don't fool me. And I hope I never fool you. You can be sitting in this church and say amen the loudest and have devils have power over you. You can. You can be addicted to... How many things are there in this world now to be addicted to? You see what I'm saying? They hold power over you. And they make you do whatever they want you to do. And you can't stop them. Okay? That was last week. This week, rulers of the darkness of this world. However God takes this, we'll deal with spiritual wickedness in high places. These are always, look up on the screen, they're always in opposition to what you'll find in your Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because let me tell you something. Christ died so that you could be free from the powers that hold you in bondage. Somebody say amen. Christ died, rose again, to break the bondage of powers and principalities. Christ came to be the light to this world, so that when the light comes on, darkness flees. Woo! Amen! Watch this. What are the rulers of darkness? Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. God said He declares the end from the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, okay? And I'm not trying to trip you up. I'm not trying to expose you. But here's a question that I think probably needs to be asked. And did we pray yet? Let's pray. Because I need you to pray for me, because I don't know how to preach this yet. Okay? Sometimes I look at it and I get it and I think, okay, I think I'm going to do this and do this and do this. And I was looking at it and I've been looking at it and I'm not sure exactly how God's going to take it. So, surprise. Okay? Heavenly Father, I ask for your mercy, ask for your help, ask for your grace today. Lord, I have nothing to give these people. I can't feed them. Lord, it's not in my power, Lord, to generate something for them that will give them the lasting satisfaction that your gospel brings. Father, I know you and I know your power and I know what you've done for my life, God, and I'm satisfied. But there may be somebody here that's not. Maybe somebody watching online. Maybe somebody in Kenya listening to the radio right now. And they're hungry and they're thirsty and they don't have the satisfaction. And Father, I have nothing to bring them. So Jesus, you are a neighbor. And we're begging you to rise and give us bread so that our fellow journeymen will have food enough to last them. It's going to be a long journey for a lot of us. We're going to be here a while. And so, Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to feed us and to show us things that we need to know. Maybe somebody today, Lord, maybe the seed could be planted in their life and in their mind. We may not see the results of it for a time to come. But, Father, would you sow good seed into our hearts today and teach us good things, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you this morning. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, gives us the account of God creating the heaven and the earth. My question to you is, do you believe the Bible's account of the creation? Okay? Now, some of you, a lot of you said yes. And I appreciate that. But let's not fool ourselves. In this world that we live in, we, my generation, a younger generation, has been taught that the Bible's wrong, that God did not create the universe in 6 days, that there was an explosion 13 billion years ago, and an accident in a pool of goo happened, and life formed, and over millions and millions of years, it grew into us. Believe it or not, a lot of people still believe that. My question to you is, I'm going to read verses out of this creation account. And I'm asking you to do something for me. I'm asking you to set aside your science. I'm asking you to set aside what you've been taught. I'm asking you to set aside what intellectualism has fed you. And I'm asking you to do what it is that church people do. They believe. They believe. And it's not blind faith. It's not, well, I believe this and I know it's wrong, but I'm going to believe it anyway. The more you believe and the longer you believe, God provides the evidence. And it's evidence that doesn't lie. And here's my question to you. You believe in God, but you're not sure you believe the Bible? Let me help you with that. There is no God without His Word. God is His Word. And I'm going to read you that here in a little bit. Genesis chapter 1. On day one of creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. But did you know that it wasn't until day 4 that God made the sun and the moon and the stars? Now, if that kind of blows your mind a little bit, let me just tell you, the light that God created on day one, the source of that light was God's Word. Okay? And I can tell you, God's Word will light things in your mind and in your heart that man and science will never light. In fact, they'll keep it in darkness. So day 4, verse 14, and God said, you see the words there? And God said, that's His Word. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Isn't it interesting that farmers throughout all of human history have used the sun, the moon, and the stars and the seasons for planting crops? Animal husbandry a lot of time is based on they'll breed at certain times of year. Those of us who know deer a little bit know that deer go in seasons, and those seasons are determined by the motion and the position of the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's common sense stuff that we know. God made this, and I believe it. I believe it. So watch this. He said in verse 16, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. What is the greater light? The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. So get this in your mind. On a daytime, the sun's out. Nighttime, you have the moon and the stars. But notice the language there. God made a lesser light to do what over the night? Rule it. There you go. Rule the night. Now, something I don't have in my notes, but it's in my mind, and I just wasn't sure. I'm not going to present it today. But who in here knows anything about witchcraft? Anybody? A little bit? Okay. Maybe you know more than you think, and you're not going to admit it. But anyway, you know one of the main symbols for witchcraft? They use symbols. The moon. The moon is a huge symbol in witchcraft. What does the moon rule over, the light or the darkness? What does that tell you? And let me tell you something. I've studied this Bible a little bit, and I know a little bit about it. The biggest enemy to the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world, in time past, and in days to come, the greatest religious enemy to the gospel is witchcraft. And witchcraft comes in a lot of forms. Witchcraft comes in the form of even a church that demands a ritual in order to wake God up, or in order to get God to do something in your life, that you must say these words, or you must perform this certain ritual facing in this direction, or at this certain time of day, or whatever day of the year, or whatever, any kind of nonsense. And I have a God that whether it's day or night, summer, winter, no matter what direction I'm facing, north, south, east, or west, or straight down, I have a God who does not require magic words from me. I have a God who, when I say, God help, God helps.
Amen.
When God saved you, you didn't say, now repeat these ritualistic words after me, and it must be in Latin, and you must say it this way and this that way. No, we say, God, I need salvation. God, I'm going to hell and I don't want to go to hell. God, will you save me? God saved you. Because I guarantee you the prayer I prayed was different than the prayer you prayed, and God heard them all, and God knows the difference between somebody that's a fake and a phony and somebody that's real. And I'm just telling you, I don't like rituals. I don't like little, oh, you got to say these words right, you got to say it this way, and you got to do it this way, and all this nonsense. I don't go for that stuff because it's bondage. It's darkness. And I have a God who's in the light. So He made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. Now let me tell you the lesson here God's trying to show you. I want to give you something real deep. Okay? You'll have to study commentaries and Greek and Hebrew language, and this is really, really deep stuff. Okay? You ready? Darkness is not light. See how deep that is, Gary? That's deep stuff, isn't it? God divided light from darkness. And let me tell you something. There are people in this world who love darkness rather than light. And you may be one of them. And if you are, I figure I've got one chance. I don't care if you're sitting here or you're watching online. I've got one chance to shine a light in your heart and in your life. And you can determine then whether you like the light or you're going to remain in darkness. It's that simple. Okay? In the evening and the morning were the first day, or the fourth day. If you look back in verse 14, verse 15, God said, you know, let there be lights and so on. In verse 15, He said, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Look at those last four words of verse 15, right before verse 16. What does that say? And it was so. Can I tell you something? When God speaks, there isn't a power on this earth that can stop what He sets out to do with His Word. There isn't anything that can put a stop to God's Word doing what it wants to do. Have you ever seen a driveway or a sidewalk busted up by the roots of an old oak tree? You know what that is? That oak tree started out as a little bitty seed. And there isn't any. That seed represents God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15 teaches us that. Mark chapter 4, the seed is the Word. There isn't anything that can stop an oak tree when its roots are going to go somewhere. Concrete and pavement and steel and iron and brick cannot stop the seed and the power of that seed from doing and going where it wants to go. So the question I'm going to ask you is, who do you think you are? Amen? And watch this. Let's look at the greater light for a minute. Turn to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4.
I'm going to show you what your Bible says. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi is right before Matthew. You get to Matthew, you're almost there. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son. Now I want you to notice in your Bible that S on the word Son. That's capitalized. You know what that means? That's deity. The translators knew that when they saw the word Son, whatever that word was in Hebrew, the Son of Righteousness, they knew that it was not just that ball of light out there 93 million miles away. They knew it wasn't that. They knew that it was a reference to Jesus Christ. So unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now I want you to look at what this verse is saying to you. In order for you to have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life, in order for God to really shine down on you, and when God shines on you, you know what he's going to reveal to you? Number one, he's going to reveal to you just how sinful you really are. Who'll say amen to that? The older I get, the longer I serve God, I don't think I'm becoming more holy. Maybe I am. I'm just realizing exactly how lost I was when Jesus reached down and saved me. Because the light shines in places that we don't want to see. We try to present ourselves to people and say, we're really good. We're really something else. But the light of the gospel, the light of the word of God shines on us, and it makes us realize that we're full of filth and full of nastiness and full of corruption. In order to have that light shining on you, you've got to fear the name of Jesus Christ. You've got to fear the name of God. Isaiah chapter 11 gives us a list of what's known as the seven spirits of God. The seventh spirit, the thing that God will give you in your life and in your mind, is called the spirit of the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? Who in here has ever run from police officers chasing you in their cop car? Who in here has ever done that? The light's coming on. Okay, Ian. You took the bait, Jack. Did it work?
Yeah. Once. Not the second time.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
the second time, they caught you.
Yeah.
Right?
My friend was driving that time.
And we took you in. Let me ask you a question, Ian. Work with me here, okay? Why did you run?
Beer in the trunk.
Beer in the trunk?
Yeah.
How old were you?
17.
That's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But why did you run?
Didn't want to get caught.
There you go. Fear comes in different forms, I guess. Because most people would pull over. Why? You can run once. They're going to get you. Bad boy, what you going to do, right?
Didn't want to get punished.
Didn't want to get... Listen what he said. Didn't want to get punished. Melissa, I walked out our door one time. We lived up here at Rockport. And there's a little boy up in the house up here that I played with. Wasn't Charlie Brown, though.
No.
I did. We grew up next to a boy named Charlie Brown. Anyway, I went up there, was walking up to his house to play with him, and he come bolting out his front door, running around the house, and I'm going, where is he going? Next thing I know, his dad's coming out chasing him. He just chasing him around the house. Did you know that he got caught? Why was he running? He didn't want to get caught. Why did he want to get caught? He was going to get punished, and he knew it. Let me tell you something. You're running. And the reason why you're running is because you are afraid. Your fear is the greatest thing that you have because you're running from God. Jonah did it.
And he was in the belly of hell itself, the Bible says. And God knew where he was. And you're going to run, and you're going to run, and that's because you are afraid that when God catches you, it's not going to go well for you. I've run from God. Only I did it in church. It can be done. Lots of people run from God, and it's because they know that when they get caught, they're in big trouble. Now, I'm just going to ask you, I'm just asking you questions today. I want you to think. I want you to search your heart and think. If you're not afraid of God and you're not afraid of judgment day, why are you running? If you say you're not afraid of God and you're ready to meet God on His terms, why are you running? That shows fear to me. Because if you don't have anything to worry about, you don't run. Cops know that, don't they? Okay? They always ask these guys, why did you run? I got scared. Why'd you get scared? Because you was tasing me. Okay. Makes sense. The Son of Righteousness will arise one day in your heart, and it will shine a light on the things that you've been running for. And God sees it, and God knows it, and God's going to open it up to you so that you'll know why you're afraid. And all God wants to do is forgive you of everything that you've ever done. That's all God wants to do. If you reject that, you're in darkness. And I suspect you love being in darkness. Who used to go to taverns? Who used to go to well-lit taverns? Roy, I'm not paying attention to you. I done been sideswiped once today. I ain't going. I ain't chasing you down. Taverns like to be dark. Prostitutes like to work in the dark. People that transgress like to do things while they're hidden in darkness because they don't want to be seen. They don't want to get caught. It's because they know that what they're doing needs darkness to cover it up. There are things our government does that will never see the light of day because they know that what they do is wrong. And what you need, and see, there is a spirit that rules over you. It's a very evil spirit. It is a ruler of darkness. And it does not want you shining the light or having the light shined on you. Because that spirit knows when the light comes out, what happens to the owls and the cockroaches and the mice when the light comes out? They leave. So let me give you this. When you get tired of having these spirits rule over you, you will ask God for light. How will He give it to you? Take your Bible. Turn to John chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to baptize a sweet young lady. And my question is, see, I only know Faith here at church. As far as I know, she's never done anything wrong her whole life. I guess Mom and Dad and Grandma know her a little bit better than I do. Okay? We're going to baptize this young lady. Look up on the screen. I mean, look outside. You look up in the sky out there, do you see the moon? Do you see the stars? No. They're gone. You know why? They've been overruled. Rulers of darkness can be overruled by light. People, it's just that simple. How many times have you heard me say to you, you told me, Pastor, I'm not doing well. Pastor, I'm in a bad place. Pastor, I'm really struggling. Pastor, I don't know what to do anymore. I can't see my way. I don't know what's going on. I'm just in a bad place. Will you pray for me? Yes. I'll pray for you. You get your Bible out. You get your Bible out and you open that book and you start reading, because I guarantee you God's light will overrule the darkness that you're in, and those spirits that are on you because of that darkness, they will have no choice but to leave. The light, in fact, look at this. I'll give you another one. See that? The light goes away, doesn't it? You know what that is? That is your life without God's Word. And when that happens, here comes the moon and here come the stars. Stars in the Bible are angels, they're spirits. And at one third of them, the book of Revelation tells us, one third of them are evil. And they're going to be cast out of heaven one of these days. And they're not going to be able to do what they were doing. Somebody say amen. But right now, at times, the darkness rules. When the light goes away. And a lot of our problems, a lot of our sinful problems. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist, so I'm not going to tell you about... I know depression. Depression is always a dark place, is it not? Those of you who have struggled with that, it's always a dark place. Always. I can tell you that a lot of our sin problem, a lot of our problem of not trusting God has everything to do with the darkness that we're in and the spirits that rule over that darkness. And the best way to overrule that is with the light. It's just that simple. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who believes that? Say amen. Amen. It was by Jesus that all things were created, by the Word of God. You're holding it in your hand. When Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you have Him right there. God, a relationship with God is a relationship with your Bible. You want to know God? Open your Bible up. Get familiar with your Bible. You will then be familiar with God, because that's who He is. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Do you believe that? In Him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I'll give you a little illustration of how right your Bible is. Who in here has ever had an original thought? Something that you never thought of before, but all of a sudden one day, boom! A thought in your mind and you went, why don't I do something like this? You ever had that happen before? We describe that as what? A light came on. Did you know that in your brain, when your brain operates, it operates by way of electricity? And literally, when you think some kind of new thought or bring something back from your memory, it is done so by light in your brain. When this Bible says that light was the light that shineth on all men, He's not kidding. Everybody in this room, everybody watching me, everybody in... They have the opportunity to receive the light, Jesus Christ, and have something new in their mind that they never thought before. Whereas before they were in darkness and they were serving sin and they didn't know any other way. Roy, you didn't know another way, did you? Roy spent his years, he knew nothing else until the light came on. And he's back. You know why he's back there standing now? Because he don't have a bottle in his hand. Now he has a gun. Okay, he's kind of watching the front door for us, all right? But the Roy that used to have a bottle in his hand was in darkness. And he'll tell you that. Now he's in the light, and he likes it a lot better. So what I'm telling you is, there is no greater light in this world than it is the light of God. And when you, I dare you to read it. See, I don't have to stand here any longer and try to push you into reading your Bible. Or try to make you believe what I'm saying. Because I know that if God shines the light on you, work. So I'm going to dare you to read your Bible and prove me wrong. Sound good? I want us to pray.